Well, it's very nice to be back in a church that I know. Last weekend I was out near Torrington doing what we call a Bishops in Mission weekend, speaking at lots of men's breakfasts and dinners and all sorts of events. And next weekend I'm up at Moreton Hampstead doing a sort of mission weekend there as well. This afternoon I'm in the mosque. No, I'm going to visit the mosque after this, because this is Visit Your Local Mosque Day, apparently. And I was asked if I go and build bridges rather than walls with them. And then I'm off this afternoon to Torquay to close down one of our churches that has not been doing very well. And it'll turn into something that supports the school academy and be a bit of a community hub. So it's very nice to be somewhere that isn't very far away from my house, and somewhere that I vaguely know what goes on. And it's lovely to have four confirmation candidates, all of whom I've known in different ways before coming to today. And I simply wanted to offer you a verse for this morning. If I'm asked to write, sometimes you're asked, aren't you, to write on a card for somebody's confirmation or in their Bible, this is the verse that I very often choose to write. And it comes from Philippians, from the first reading that we had. And it is Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. And the way that I write it, and the way is slightly different from here, but the way that I learned it first was Paul being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will, well, I'll use the phrase here, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. That he who began a good work in us will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. And I want to suggest three things that that little verse means. And the first is that we can be confident that God will never let us down. God will never let you down. In other words, God doesn't give up on us. We often give up, don't we? We're always starting something that we don't manage to finish. So, you know, your New Year's resolutions probably petered out about the 8th of January. Diets we're always starting and never quite completing. Children's music lessons. Our children, we all started paying extortionate sums for them to have music lessons. None of them carried on with it. There's that website, isn't it, that you buy secondhand stuff off. I forget what it's called. But it's full of golf clubs and scuba diving equipment, photography, things that people started and then gave up and sell it on eBay, that's the one. Well, Paul says God isn't like that. He's confident that he who began a good work in us will bring it to completion. And he knows that because he and the Philippians to whom he's writing, he says, have been partners in the gospel. And the gospel is all about God not giving up on us. People sometimes think, make it sound as if you have to go on a long search to find God and discover all the philosophies and mysteries of the universe. But the Christian faith says it's not like that. It's that God has come in search of us. But in Jesus Christ walking the roads of Galilee, healing, praying, being with people, calming the storm, walking alongside, that God was in our midst. And he goes all the way to the cross for us to take on himself the sin and the mess that we make of our lives and of our world. The cross has been called the dustbin for the sin of the world, where we take the mess that we make of things and dump it there on Jesus. So he'll never let you down, Paul says. And we know that because of all that Jesus has done for us. There's an African story of a fire in an African village, and this hut burns down and the family in it perish, all except for one little baby boy who is rescued because an unidentified person dashed into the flames and brought out this child safely. And soon afterwards, the elders of the village meet to decide who should have the privilege of bringing up this little boy. And one of the younger men said, I ought to, I've got the energy, I'm young. One of the richer people said, well, I can afford to bring him up. The chief of the village said, well, I'm the most powerful person, I can bring him up. And then a rather undistinguished person said, I'll look after him. And they turned to him and said, why? And he showed them his hands, which were horribly burnt and scarred. And we have a Saviour who has scarred hands. And if Jesus went to the cross for us, then can't we be confident that in any other circumstances, he'll never let us go? If he'll do that for us, then surely he'll walk with us through life. He'll never let you down. The second thought, he'll never let you off. He who has begun a good work in you will bring it to completion. He's only begun, God, hasn't he, with us? And remember that Paul is writing not just to individuals, but to a church as well. He wants us to be different from how we are, to be changed people, to be people who are in the image of Christ, the sort of people that he wants us to be. And that's why God gives us the Holy Spirit, comes to change us, to make us different people, not content with the sort of people that we are. It's why Paul prays here that your love may abound more and more in all knowledge and depths of insight, that we'd be filled with the fruit of righteousness. There was a Victorian story of a penniless artist who once painted a great masterpiece, and all his creativity, all his genius went onto the canvas, but he was just living in a garret. He was very poor, and he had to sell it for a pittance. And years later, when he was better off, he walked down the street, and there in a junk shop was his masterpiece hanging in the window. It wasn't as he'd remembered it. It was now covered with dirt, and it was soiled and torn. But he wanted to have it back and to restore it. And before he could restore it, before he could bring out his full beauty and worth, he had to buy it back to pay the price, as Jesus did for us. And then he sets to work to restore it, to make it what we were made to be. Somebody asked an Indian gold refiner how he knew when the gold was completely refined. And he said, when I can see my face in it. And God is working on us so that he can see the likeness of his Son in us. And that's true not just for us as individuals, but for a church community as well, that churches should be, as I heard described the other day, communities of grace. So Paul writes here, all of you share in God's grace with me. And a church is called to be a community of grace. Normally we spend our lives with people who are like us or who we like or have similar interests. So train spotters all gather together in anoraks on the station, or the allotment association all gather at the allotment, or the conservatives all gather in the conservative club. We're normally with people who are a bit like us. But the church is remarkable because it's all about all of us, from the oldest to the youngest, rich and poor, black and white, whatever it is, being together in the fellowship, the word Paul uses the word koinonia here, the fellowship of Christ. It's not remarkable when we're just with people who are like us. It is very remarkable to be a community of grace that welcomes and accepts us, and that exists not for its own benefit,
but for the benefit of the world, which needs to know the love of God. He'll never let you down. He'll never let you off. He wants us to be the people he made us to be. And he'll never let you go, says the apostle. He's confident of that who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. That whether we're in this world or the next, God is committed to us through the love of his Son. And sometimes we find that difficult to believe. One of my colleagues speaks of God as being rather like a stamp collector. Because the thing about stamp collectors is that they love stamps which have quirks and which are oddities, the ones that aren't perfect. And God's the same with us, he says. He loves us as we are. And in the gospel reading, we heard of the Spirit blowing where it wills, taking us where God wants us to be. And at a confirmation service, each of the candidates will have a different story about how they've come to be confirmed, to make a decision to follow Christ. And I take quite a lot of confirmation services. I confirmed somebody well into their 80s, not very long ago, a retired consultant from Derriford Hospital. I asked him what had taken him so long. And he said, well, he was just so busy in his working life that he never had time to think about what was really important. But he'd come to discover by just being part of his local church the importance of the values of truth and love, how the sacred things, as he put it, in life were embodied uniquely in Jesus, and that he was the one that he wanted to follow. And so as we come to the confirmation, we pray for each of those who is confirmed today, young or old, that God, by his Holy Spirit, would blow them in the direction that he wants them to serve him for life. It's a beginning, a commissioning, isn't it? A confirmation, not an ending. And my prayer is that for you who are being confirmed, and for all of us, that we can be confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. May God help and bless, enable that to be true for each one of us. Amen.